And I want to remind you, you can listen to the Taylor Report on soundcloud.com/Taylor-report. soundcloud.com/Taylor-report. And of course, we are also facebook.com/The Taylor Report. And I think we have David Jacobs on the line. Are you there, David?
I am. How are you?
David is an international lawyer, has argued issues of war and peace in front of eminent courts. And David, Thomas Mulcair wrote a letter to the Prime Minister, which I think you must have approved of. And we all wonder why he didn't maybe doesn't write more like this more often, let's put it that way. He's taking up this issue of the Canadian sniper who made the record shot. What is Mr. Mulcair's point?
Well, if I can read a little bit from it, and I do recommend the letter. It can be found on the internet. It was the letter sent on June 23rd. And what Mr. Mulcair says, and he's saying about the reports about the sniper incident in Iraq, where a Canadian Special Forces unit sniper fired against an Iraqi combatant. And Mr. Mulcair starts his letter by saying he has concern about this news, and I'm quoting here, "It's not clear exactly how and when the engagement occurred, but it seriously calls into question your government's claim that Canadian forces are not involved in direct combat in Iraq." He goes on to say that the Liberal government said that they were increasing the number of special forces in Iraq simply in an advise and assist role to train Iraqi forces. But we now know they're operating inside Mosul, which is very close to the front lines. And this is completely contrary to what Justin Trudeau has said in the past. For example, in March 2015, he said, without equivocating, "Involvement in direct combat in this war does not serve Canada's interests." While he said this wasn't a combat operation, it fits the definition of combat operation that a Liberal foreign affairs critic, Mark Garneau, defined: a military operation where the use or threatened use of force, including lethal force, is essential. Is essential to impose will upon an armed opponent or to accomplish a mission. To the Liberal Party, Justin Trudeau said that he would end Canada's combat mission in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Well, we are obviously doing the exact opposite.
Harper time in the Trudeau administration.
Yeah, the problem for Canadians is that we're
and they always start with glamorous commandos doing things we never knew they could do: double backflips and 2 mile shots. And
yes, and we're into a period where the more pacific representatives of the Liberal government, such as Stephen Dion, have been replaced by aggressive voices like Chrystia Freeland, and Justin Trudeau simply echoes all of that. And now we are clearly involved in a combat situation in Iraq. And there's a question, there's a law question. You introduced me as a lawyer. The international law implications are relatively clear. We have a National Defense Act, which says that you can't deploy Canadian forces overseas except in defense of Canada and face an attack. We aren't being attacked by any group in Iraq. A legitimate NATO operation, that is, if a NATO country had been attacked.
Yes.
And Article 5 of the NATO Treaty is triggered. But having said all of that nice stuff about NATO, the NATO Treaty itself, on its own terms, is subordinate to the UN Charter. Mm-hmm. And again, the UN Charter only allows war in very, very, very limited circumstances: defense to armed attack, with the permission of the UN Security Council. I suppose if the sovereign government has asked for it, but the sovereign government asking for it—it's not clear to me that the sovereign government of Iraq.
No, we haven't been told that.
No, we haven't been told that, and even the sovereign government of Iraq has asked for it. Surely this is a question which, in a democracy, the questions of war and peace should go before Parliament.
Yes. Well, I think you've called it out perfectly. And it's now Mr. Mulcair is going toward the door. It's a we have something we can report. It's very helpful. Let's hope that all these candidates who say they would like to lead will start with that, because war and peace is number one issue that anybody wants to lead a sovereign state. David Jacobs, thank you very, very much for all that information.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. David Jacobs, and he's a distinguished lawyer, knows wherever he speaks on these matters. I'll remind you again, you can get the Taylor Report on SoundCloud.com, Taylor-Report. Also remind you that there is Afrofest. It's in Woodbine Park, July 8 and 9. That's Saturday and Sunday. They opens at 12 p.m., and it's the largest African musical festival in North America. Toronto should be proud, and I hope everybody will turn out for that. And this is the Taylor Report. I told you already that yesterday was the anniversary of the defeat of General Custer. The year was 1876. The date was June 25. The battle began at approximately 3:30 in the afternoon, and it was over at 3:45. It was one of those moments of serious miscalculation by a major United States Army officer. We should all remember that, and we should also remember that the people engaged in that battle were the Dakota, Lakota, the Cheyenne, and the Arapaho, and that they were fighting because a surprise, surprise, the American government had reneged on an agreement in which they had ceded the Black Hills to Native Americans, and someone found gold there in 1873 approximately and decided they could take the Black Hills back. If you go to the Black Hills, that's where you'll find the famous Mount Rushmore, oddly enough, ironically, or maybe paradoxically. And the second thing you will find if you do go there, and I would urge you to do it, there is a monument, a whole mountain shaped like the figure of Crazy Horse. So I urge you to go.